You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, November the 3rd, 2023. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Thank you for wrapping up your week with us, or whenever you get a chance to listen to the show. I'm glad you took the time to tune in, listen, download, whatever the case may be. It is much appreciated. We are wrapping up the week. I do have some updates on my, if you noticed, our Sven Longshank support links are changed a little bit. I've been emailing Sven on a regular basis, and my last email I sent to him got sent back. So it appears, from what I can gather, he has been moved to another facility. I don't believe he has mail privileges yet, but he got moved to a different prison. So as soon as I know he has his mail privileges, I have everything confirmed up and all the information current and standard, I will get that the new mailing address and whatnot posted up. But I did want to give you all a heads up. I don't want y'all sending your notes and letters and whatnot into the ether, into the Netherland there. So I will be posting those up. I will continue to have the GiveSendGo link up, as well as the PA link to where it has a mailing address there. If you want to snail mail financial support through PA, you can continue to do that. And again, once I know that, you know, the back and forth, the channels are open to communicate back and forth with Sven, I will, of course, be passing that along. Well, it is Friday. It is the Daily Nationalist. I tried for the longest to keep up Sven's tradition of it being humorous. I just don't even worry about it anymore. I have too much of a hard time. It was easier when he was here, but I do what I can. And this week's story is humorous to me. Maybe not to anybody else, but it is to me, in the sense that you have people, journalists, politicians, all of these people, they live in this fantasy world, you know, that's devoid of the reality that the rest of us live in. And it is amazing, because once in a while you do get an example of them looking out from the bubble of their fantasy world, and they just They don't understand. They don't understand why you don't agree with them, why they're telling you. You know, regardless of the fact that you're just simply going off of your day-to-day experience. These same people probably, you know, laugh and talk about, you know, the story where Marie Antoinette supposedly said, well, if they're hungry, let the peasants eat cake. Though I don't think she actually said that, but everybody attributes that quote. They'd say, well, that's ridiculous. She didn't eat. She wasn't even aware that the peasants had no bread to eat. And she was so out of touch, being so aristocratic and so rich, that she couldn't even grasp. She couldn't even conceive the fact that the peasants were starving. They had no bread. And she's like, well, why, she's feasting and stuffing her face. And she's eating cake. These people will sit around and probably snicker at that. And yet they themselves are no different. Why are the people complaining? Look at our statistics. Let them eat GDP. That would be it. They let them eat GDP. This story comes from Yahoo Finance, and it's titled, This Week in Bidenomics, More Good News for Voters to Dismiss. Now, this is from Rick Newman, who's just, he's always a great example when it comes to economic matters of living in the bubble. It's always kind of entertaining to read this guy's stuff. Of course, when Trump was in there, you know, no matter what, you know, economic news there was, it had to be bad in some way, shape, or form. And of course, he's a big cheerleader for quote unquote Bidenomics, where we all managed to get poor. So for today's show, we're going to delve off into this Alice in Wonderland tier of what's wrong? Let them eat GDP. Bank of America published a briefing on October 27th with the headline, "The Good Times Won't Last Forever." The typical American must wonder what good times the bank could possibly be talking about. BNA was referring to the remarkable jump in economic output for the third quarter, which ended in September. Government data, and we know the government never lies, government data showed a giant 4.9% gain in real GDP adjusted for inflation from the second quarter to the third. That's not unprecedented, but it's about twice the norm during ordinary times when the economy is growing. So here's your first hint, Rick. You know, you have this record GDP growth. Why aren't the people appreciating it? So your answers are the people are just stupid and they're not happy no matter how good they have it. Or B, your GDP numbers are all a made-up lie. I know which one I'm going with. I know which one all of y'all are probably going with as well. You see, this government spending actually counts as GDP. All of this debt that's piling up, they're actually, because we live in a financialized economy, you know, and bear with me because I'm not an expert on these things, but I at least have some knowledge in it. Because we have a financialized economy, all of this, you know, people racking up their credit cards, that contributes to GDP. And so yes, the government's spending more money than ever. So of course the GDP numbers are bumping up. It's more money to Ukraine, more money to Israel. My gosh, look at the GDP. We're borrowing ourselves into prosperity. I told somebody recently talking about personal debt. I said, you know, you will never borrow your way to prosperity. It's one of the absurd things when people get into debt. And they start getting into debt, you'll start getting these phone calls. You'll get phone calls from these people wanting to loan you more money. Let us loan you even more money to pay off your high interest credit cards. And a lot of people will fall for that. That's why they're blowing up your phone with this nonsense. But it's a lie. You're not going to borrow yourselves into prosperity. And a lot of people fall for it. I know people, you've probably known people, and they'll go out and they're running out of money. So they'll go out and take a loan at the bank on the car that they already own. Well, now all of a sudden they have, you know, $10,000 in the bank and they act like, oh, good, I got money again. And they go back to spending like they've always spent. You can't, you know, because they feel it gives you a false sense of prosperity. And if people have the false sense of prosperity because they have $10,000 in the bank and they were down to the last $58, now they feel rich in comparison to that. And the good times are back. Let's rock and roll. Now, you know, you could kind of snicker and shrug your shoulders when an individual person does this. You'd be like, well, they should know better. But still, it's an individual person and people have their own quirks and failings and whatnot. It becomes poverty, you know, when you're broke, it becomes so oppressive that when all of a sudden you have a little money in the bank, you lose all perspective because you were down to your last $58. And now I check the bank, you know, and I was like, do I have enough money to put gas in my car? And you're sweating that. I'm sitting here doing the whole sweating thing on my forehead as if y'all can see it. And then all of a sudden you see $10,000 in your bank and it's such a relief that you want to pretend that that's real, but it's not. Because now, actually, you're minus $10,000 because you owe that to the bank plus whatever interest. So now you have buried yourself further in the hole. You can understand this in the context of individual people. And yet, you have people like Rick Newman that live in this fantasy world, and they simply look at their GDP numbers. And it's like that person looking at the $10,000 in the bank. It's like, what are people complaining about? The good times are here. Look at the GDP. But it's not real. The fantasy continues. It's worth recalling that 6 or 9 or 12 months ago, many economists thought we'd be in a recession by now. We're not even close. Consumers are still spending excess savings that consumers piled up during the COVID downturn were supposed to run out, but shoppers somehow still have gas in the tank. Even housing, depressed of late by surging interest rates, is showing signs of life. There's so much bullshit and fantasy here. It's one thing if maybe Rick Newman does not understand actually how GDP is figured up and thinks that that is somehow directly related to, you know, people doing well, like people are manufacturing, people are prospering, we're manufacturing more. It's one thing if he, maybe he just is ignorant about that, if he wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. But this paragraph here just exceeds all belief. People have just piled up excess savings during the COVID lockdown. Really? Really? How many of you, if you got the, what was it, $1,200 or whatever that Trump put out in COVID relief? How many of you, if you got that $1,200, and I'm just remembering off the top of my head, I don't remember the amount it was. I think it was $1,200. If you have that $1,200, how many of you still have that? This guy is acting like years ago you received that $1,200 in the COVID relief money and you still got it and you're still spending it because heaven knows our dollar goes so far now. He's actually insinuating that the $1,200 you got in COVID relief funds, everybody still got that. It was so much money that you're still spending it. Of course, we all know the corporation's got a whole lot more than that. This just defies. I'm sorry. You know, like I say, you could maybe give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he doesn't understand how GDP is calculated and figured. But to sit here and imply that consumers are spending and blowing excess savings, just perusing other mainstream news articles, there's no shortage. You can find many articles that are talking about consumers are actually using their credit cards for more things like groceries and gas in the tanks than ever before. This is a huge red flag that there is a problem and people are broke. But he ignores that. See, all of these people always look at every single issue in a vacuum. This is the sign of somebody who doesn't know how to think. And you will find this in virtually every single journalist on the face of the planet, or at least in the West. A thinking person always understands that you can't look at one thing in a vacuum. You have to look at them. You have to take in information that you read elsewhere and apply. Hey, this applies to here. When you have other news stories out there that admit that people are using their credit cards at an alarming rate for not things that they used to use credit cards, but for things such as groceries and buying gas for their car, that tells you they don't have excess savings. But Rick Newman, he's looking at these things in a vacuum. You see, they have all this excess savings. Where else would the money come from? They're spending all of this money. It must be from that $1,200. It was so much money years ago. They still have it in the bank. And how the hell else were people piling up money during the, as his words here, the COVID downturn? It's by definition a downturn. How the hell were people piling up money during a downturn? Well, hell, if the lockdowns meant economic prosperity and people could pile up money, lock us down forever. Hell, if the downturn meant everybody was piling up all of this excess cash, well, shit, let's just do a COVID downturn forever. Hell, that's why turn things back up. How do you call it on one hand a downturn, and now on the very next sentence, this very same sentence, you claim that people were piling up money because it was such a good thing? This simply defies logic and reason. Let's continue. I know it's hard, but we're going to got to continue. Americans must be celebrating their own financial resilience, right? No, misery rules. Everything sucks. Then this, stop here. This is such childish. You know, because the implications is everything. The implication here he's making is that everything's great, but people are just cynical. People just don't appreciate how good they have it. In other words, you're all stupid. Look at how good the GDP numbers. You're just stupid. Why aren't you happy? Confidence levels fell in the University of Michigan's latest consumer sentiment survey, continuing a string of surprisingly dismal readouts on consumer attitudes. Confidence is similar to levels during the Great Recession, when the value of stock portfolios and homes was plunging and millions of workers were losing their jobs. Confidence now is considerably worse than in April 2020, when COVID was metastasizing. Thousands were dying every day. Yes, I remember the bodies in the streets. And much of the nation went into open-ended shutdown. Other confidence measures show roughly the same levels of despondency. Well, then there must be a reason, Rick. Maybe you're wrong. I know that's hard to believe. You're living here comfortably in your journalism bubble, but maybe things actually do suck for people out here. She's trying to insinuate that actually you have it really good, and you're just not happy for some reason. What is wrong with you? Why everybody else look at... It's also funny that we just read that people were piling up money during the COVID downturn. But then he talks about how confidence is considerably worse when COVID was killing everybody in the streets. So which is it, Rick? You can't have both true at the same time. So which is it? It also is a little bit telling that when he points to the Great Recession as a comparison, and he talks about when the value of stock portfolios was plunging. I got news for you, Rick. Most people don't have stock portfolios. Most people are trying to figure out how to put gas in their car so they can get to their dead-end, stinking-ass wagey job. That even if they got a raise, still doesn't match up to inflation. And the Fed, of course, keeps raising interest rates as this is going to help people. People are down to using their credit cards to put gas in the car. The Fed is raising interest rates because we've got to get inflation under control. But the inflation isn't because people are doing so well. This is the harmful, literal harmful effect. There's one thing when Rick Newman believes this bullshit, because it doesn't actually have an effect on anything. We can sit here and make fun of how stupid this is. How he's living in a fantasy bubble, and people like him live in this fantasy world detached from a reality that virtually everyone else in the country is living through. Well, I just don't understand. But I can't be wrong. It's one thing when people like this. But it's another thing when you have the Federal Reserve, who is also living in a fantasy bubble. Of course, now, to their credit, they only have one tool, and that's interest rates, and they don't know what the hell else to do. There's no innovative thinkers at the Federal Reserve, I can tell you that. So you have this situation where we have out-of-control inflation, and they're raising interest rates. Now people already couldn't get by because they can't afford anything anymore by the time they pay for food, rent, gas for their car. On top of that, now they're raising interest rates, which is double hurting consumers, Rick. This is why everybody has a dismal attitude. The inflation, which, to put it in a simplistic way, is because the money is getting worth less. It's not because everybody's doing so good. I mentioned this earlier, but in another show, not earlier in this show. But I had read a story here recently where in Argentina, there, you know, this is a extreme. Sometimes you use extremes, you know, as an example, as a literary device, you know, to show an example to people. You show something extreme. You show the far end, and it makes it easier to understand things that when they're not that extreme. You know, it maybe is hard to understand. If you have an example where you can point to an extreme example, then it's like, oh, I understand. An extreme example of this, I read a story here a while back where Argentina has raised, their central bank has raised their interest rates to try to combat inflation. They raised their interest rates from something like 115% to 138%. Or perhaps it was from 138% to 168%. The point is, their central bank interest rates are over 100% because they don't know what else to do. They're combating inflation, and the only tool they have are interest rates. Of course, in Argentina, what's driving the inflation is nobody wants the currency. Nobody wants the currency. So they're trying to raise the value. It's like having, if you had a crappy car and you were trying to sell it for $3,000 and somebody walked up to look at your car and they were like, well, this thing's a piece of shit. I wouldn't give you $1,000 for it. And you were like, oh, you don't want this car? No, I don't want this car. I'm raising the price to $6,000. Now the car's more valuable, right? It's a simplistic read, but it's a good example. In Argentina, no one wants the currency, and no one here in America wants to even consider the idea that the currency itself is getting worth less. And yet the Federal Reserve is raising the price on the currency. I've always said for years, if you look on your dollar notes, you know, it says on there, like, you know, backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. That's what your dollar's worth. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by silver. It's not backed by a basket of other things. It is backed by nothing more than the full faith and credit of the United States government. That is what your dollar is worth. It says it right on there. contracts backed by the full faith and credit, good for all debts, public and private, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. If that is all that is backing it, and it is all that's backing it, that is what's backing your dollar. People will say, well, the dollar's not, it's just paper, it's not backed with anything. No, it is. It's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. So what happens when people start to have less and less faith in the credit of the federal government? What if people don't have any faith in the government anymore? What if every day people have less and less faith in the government? What if every day people have less and less faith in the credit of the government? When people see that the government's spending $1 trillion here, $2 trillion there, another umpteen billion for the Ukraine, now we're going to give some more billions to Israel, well, the good times, they just keep a floating. They just keep a going. Borrow some more money at interest. By the way, you know, I hate it when people will use terms like the government's just printing this money. No, they're not. They're borrowing it at interest. This is the equivalent of the person that doesn't know any better that took out a $10,000 loan on their car and now thinks they have money, but they have to pay that back at interest. The government is not printing shit. They're borrowing this from the Federal Reserve at interest. And it's money they have no hope of paying back. Again, you can give an individual person the benefit of the doubt because people would just get so overwhelmed just trying to keep their head above water that they will make decisions that, you know, when you're not in that situation, you're looking at it from the outside and you're like, well, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. But they're so desperate trying not to drown. They're grabbing any straw they can, even if it doesn't make any sense. But how the hell do you excuse the government itself that is doing this very thing? They're borrowing themselves into prosperity at interest. They're not printing money. They have no control over that. That is the Federal Reserve. They're borrowing the money from the big banks at interest. And that interest payment is getting higher and higher every single day. Oh, where were we? Oh, yes, yes. We just can't understand why everybody just isn't celebrating the good times. To many economists, this makes no sense. Maybe economists don't know what the hell they're talking about. The experts. Isn't it funny how the media is always telling us on and on to trust the experts, and yet in our day-to-day lives, you see more and more, it's becoming more and more apparent that the experts have no clue what the hell they're even talking about. I'm sorry, let's go. To many economists, this makes no sense, given that the unemployment rate is super low, 3.8%. Everybody knows. You see, everybody, this is a blind assertion. Everybody knows what is spoiling the party, inflation. Even so, the inflation rate has dropped sharply from a high of 9% in 22 to a 3.7% now. Yet, confidence has worsened for 3 months in a row, as if inflation is getting worse, not better. What do you say? I'll just say it. I could sit here and give you a long-winded spiel. It's kind of what I do. But let's just say we all know that the way they figure inflation is BS. Everybody knows that. You can go and look. If you look up the way inflation was calculated in 1980 and use those metrics today, it's way higher than 3.7%. They just changed the way they figure it there. Now everything's fine. It's the same with unemployment. They claim unemployment is super low at 3.8%. Does anybody believe that? You see, people that haven't been employed, like, you know, for over a year, they just quit counting them. They're just like, well, they don't want a job. It's like you have all these millions of people that aren't employed at all, and they just don't count them. Or they count, oh, look, this person's employed. This is great. Why? He's so employed, he has 5 part-time jobs, and he's still not making it. What's wrong? What's wrong with people? Don't they believe the experts? Consumers are allowed to feel bummed out for whatever reason they want. Pollsters and economists try to figure out what's on their minds, but sometimes they get it wrong. It's possible and perhaps likely that the ghastly October 7th Hamas attacks terrorist attacks on Israel put everybody in a foul mood. Hostilities in the Middle East now seem to be intensifying rather than easing. Worldwide bummer, dude. Oh, yes, it's you see, it's not that the economy sucks. It's not that everybody's broke. You see, it's Hamas's fault. This is really what he just said. Perhaps it's okay. Well, how about this, Rick? Then what about a week before that happened? How did the consumers feel? How did the American public, what was their feel on the economy then? I don't remember a week before October 7th, everybody was like, man, things are sure great. Oh my gosh, Hamas just ruined everything. But President Biden can't get a break. Poor Biden, he just can't get a break. Poor President Biden can't get a break during peacetime or wartime. He's earned solid marks for his handling of the Israel-Hamas war so far, but his weak approval rating, stuck around 40%, hasn't changed. While addressing public concerns about a Middle East war, Biden continues to talk up the things going right in the economy with seemingly zero ability to shake Americans from their zombie-like gloom. And I'm not making this up. This is so funny. He says, talking about Biden, he says he's earned solid marks for his handling of the Israel-Hamas war. There's a link here for earned solid marks. I'm intellectually curious. I wanted to see. I clicked the link to see who exactly is giving Biden these solid marks. You know where the link takes you? It takes you to another article by Rick Newman. You can't make this up. This guy just referenced himself in his own story. Biden just got recent solid marks from who? Let's click the... Oh, from you! I kid you not, you can't make this up. Biden just got solid marks on his handling from this. Solid marks from Rick Newman himself. He's quoting himself as a source for Biden's... I don't know, y'all. This is funny to me. You see, Sven wouldn't probably pick this as a humorous article, but I do because it's so funny. They actually are doing this. Oh, and I skimmed through that, and the solid and as he's giving Biden these solid marks, he's also referencing other things. But he's referencing other thing that people in Israel are real happy about. Well, good, the Israelis can vote for him then. And then, of course, he wraps this up with our zombie-like gloom. See, we're just zombies. See, you're just zombies because you don't appreciate how good things really are. Because the other possibility, besides the fact that you're just a bunch of zombies that can't figure out how good things are, is that Rick Newman and these economists and experts might be wrong. And that can't be the case. After the blockbuster GDP numbers came out, Biden posted on his social media accounts a simple chart showing that GDP skyrockets under Bidenomics. The White House sends reporters regular memos touting Bidenomics in action. The basic message, inflation is down, the job market remains strong, and predictions of a recession keep turning out wrong. It's all true, and yet voters either don't believe it or won't believe it or think it won't last, or they've dropped into a parallel universe where the skies are stormy even when the sun is out and the only thing that could be worse than today is tomorrow. Yes, that is a real deal. Yes, that's a true possibility. It could be that you're living in a fantasy world. You and all these politicians, Rick, are living simply in a fantasy world. GDP numbers are BS. And people's lives are getting harder and people are getting more and more broke and people are struggling. Or maybe you're right, Rick, and they're just living in a parallel universe of reality to where everything's are gloomy no matter how good things are working. Maybe that's what it is. This is shows when people live in a fantasy world and journalists live in a fantasy world, politicians live in a fantasy world. They live in a fantasy world where everything is hunky-dory and they don't deal with reality. They don't deal with real people problems. They don't talk to real people out here in the world, struggling, trying to make a living, trying to get by week to week, check to check. And they live in this fantasy world and they will protect that fantasy world. It's not important to people like this how you're doing. They don't want to understand. People like someone like this, this is not hard to get out here and understand why people feel this way. He acts like this whole article is putting out the assertion that this is just a mystery. It's just a mystery. Well, you got all these experts and journalists and economists trying to figure out why everybody thinks this is. Look, this isn't hard stuff to find out. Hell, you don't even have to go out here and talk to the proletariat. You could just read a few, just do a little, read a few, dig a little in the numbers, and you can figure out. Again, if there's research and data out there that shows people are using their credit cards more and more for buying groceries and gas in their car, that tells you something. But you see, they don't care. People like this do not care. All they care about is maintaining the fantasy world, because if anything cracks the fantasy world, it gives them a bad feeling. It stimulates something negative in their minds and their brains, and they don't like that feeling. So they don't want anything. This is related to the censorship thing. This is why there has to be mass censorship, because people like this that live in a fantasy world, they don't want any reality poking in. Rick Newman doesn't want to actually understand why people feel this way. He just wants to bitch about it and tell them how they're like zombie and stupid. They're zombie-like and stupid because they don't just appreciate how good the GDP numbers are. You see, he doesn't want to find out why people feel this way, because it isn't a mystery. It's not something that's real hard to go out and figure out. Hell, you can find out with a few clicks on your computer and a little digging why it is. But he's not interested in that. They want to maintain the fantasy. So you wind up with this absurdity. He's like, well, maybe they just live in a parallel universe. Now, I realize he's not saying people literally live in a parallel universe, but still, he's making that statement as if it's just inexplicable. It's just inexplicable. We just can't understand. It's too complicated. It's not complicated. A little-known member of Congress named Dean Phillips said on October 27th that he plans to run against Biden in next year's presidential primaries. Phillips applauds Biden's record and says he agrees with Biden on mostly everything, but he also says he's worried about Biden's poor traction in the polls, which might be signaling the limits of an 80-year-old president's ability to connect with voters who are almost all younger than him. Phillips won't win, but an incumbent president shouldn't be drawing challengers from the middle of his own party either. If great economic news won't sway voters, it's hard to know what will. Let me answer Rick, Nick. Where did I get Nick? It's because I'm not going to lie, I was in mid-vape there. Like, I had paused, and I was like right at the end of that exhale, and I was just starting that, you know, that's good stuff. Peachy mango, good stuff. Let me explain it, Rick. News is not reality. News is not reporting the facts. News isn't reality. It's not great economic news. The fact of the matter is, if GDP was related in any way, shape, or form to people's day-to-day lives, in other words, the real economy, not Wall Street, not finance, not massage statistics, if people's lives were good, you wouldn't have to tell them anything. People would just be happy. They're not in a parallel universe. They're not stupid. People can be stupid, but that's beside the point. They're not zombies. They just know reality, and they're living in that reality, and people like Rick are not living in that reality. You wouldn't have to report. You wouldn't have to tout up made up numbers. If the economy was doing well, people would simply know the economy is doing well. You know, the simplest answer here is that your statistics are bullshit and the economy is not doing well. Wall Street may be getting by. Finance may be getting by. Your massage statistics, however you want to just change the parameters to make them say what you want them to say, may be saying things are getting great. But the fact that you can't BS people, there's certain things you can BS people about. You can lie to people. You can tell them all kinds of lies about Ukraine or Israel-Hamas conflict. And they're not going to know any different because they don't know that. You see, there's the extent to the, you know, there's limits to how propaganda and lying will work. You can lie to them about the Ukraine and talk about they're the only democracy in Eastern Europe who's standing for our freedoms and values of who we are. And 99% of the people in this country don't have any idea any better. So they'll just go with that. They don't know. They don't care, really. But you see, you can't lie to people about how they're doing. You can write, I don't care how many articles you write saying the economy is great. People know the economy because for every person, the economy is how they're doing. For every single person, their economy is how much money do I have in the bank to spend? The economy is, do I have enough money after I buy groceries, pay rent, pay my electric bill? Heaven forbid if I have to go to the doctor. That's the economy to people. The economy is never going to be an abstraction. GDP, economists say. The economy will always be personal for people. So reporting on it is almost just useless. People will think the economy is good if they're doing well. And on the flip side of that, it doesn't matter how much you BS them and tell them the economy is great. It's always going to be personal. If people are not doing well, then the economy is not great. And that's actually the accurate measure, because if it was only going salty for a small percentage of the people, then it would be reflected. People would have an overall good attitude. But the fact that the vast majority of people are saying things are crap, that tells you that for them personally, it's like I'm giving this guy a lesson and he won't ever hear it, but I'm giving him a lesson. Let me say it again. The economy is not the Ukraine. The economy is not the Middle East. The economy is something people will always measure on a personal level. And again, it doesn't matter what your statistics say. If they're doing crappy, they're going to say the economy is crappy. Likewise, if they're doing well, it doesn't matter if your statistics say we're in a recession. If everybody felt they were richer every day, that they were doing a little better week by week and were optimistic that in 6 months they may be even doing really good, then people will say the economy is good. The economy will always be personal for people. The economy will always be measured by people on how well they themselves personally are doing. As such, you can't lie to convince them otherwise. You can't gaslight them. You can call them zombies and claim they live in a parallel universe and act like it's completely inexplicable, but it's not going to change the reality that for every single person, the economy is how they are doing. They themselves, personally, how much money is in John Doe's bank account. But like I said, people like this don't want to know. Because they're not intellectually curious. All they care about is maintaining the fantasy, maintaining their little bubble, maintaining the fantasy world that they live in. Because for anything to prick that, to pop that, to crack it, they have a negative emotional reaction to it. It sounds so ridiculous, but that is the truth. All they care about is maintaining the little bubble they've created for themselves, a bubble. But for everybody else, they're living in reality. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great weekend. As I said before, I will give you updates on Sven's situation, when he's going to be able to get mail and get the address up, whenever I have all of that lined out. So bear with us. We're going to continue to keep Sven in our prayers and whatnot. I hope you have a great weekend. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.